Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you on this Sunday, the 7th of July. There are festive days all over the place at the moment, and so this week we give a shout out to all our American listeners who've recently marked the 4th of July. Meanwhile, here we are, well, here I am, in Sherbrooke at the heart of the Eastern Townships of Quebec. My name is Nigel Parker, the minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church. We're glad to be broadcasting on CJMQ Radio and continuing our stories in the Book of Ruth. First, words from Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. To dread, what have I to fear, leaning on the everlasting arms? I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Let's turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. God of all hope, we gather to worship you. In trust and hope, we draw near to the Holy One who is always near, even if we do not recognize your holy presence. Some of us listening today are in our homes, familiar places where hopefully we feel comfortable, where we feel at ease with ourselves, where we know we are loved. But Lord, we come together to give you thanks that, Lord, throughout all the generations, you have been our home. It is in you that we find ourselves, where we know ourselves loved. And so we worship you, our Creator, from whom all things have grown and evolved and been created. And we confess that we've not always understood or accepted that you, the Holy One, is indeed our eternal home and rest. We bless you for the generous love that undergirds our lives day by day and year by year, for the way that that love has reached to us once and for all in history in our Lord Jesus Christ, and now comes to us by your Holy Spirit. All praise to you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We confess that we've often doubted that your love is capable of forgiving us of all that stains our lives, our loving and our living. We confess that we've doubted the possibilities of your love being so gracious as to cleanse us from the stain and pain of sin and separation from you. We turn aside from our waywardness to the wonder of worship of yourself. Grant to us, we pray, the assurance that comes with trust, the knowledge that our deepest fears are not realized, and that your generous mercy and grace, wide and deep as the work of the cross, is enough to welcome us into the family of your forgiven children. Our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. In Jesus' name, amen. The Book of Ruth in the Bible tells the story of Elimelech and his wife Naomi and two sons, who fled from a famine in their hometown of Bethlehem in Judea. In Moab, all the men died, and when Naomi heard that better times had returned to Bethlehem, she planned to return to them. She urged her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, to return to their families in Moab. Orpah does so, but Ruth refuses to leave Naomi. Ruth accompanies Naomi back to Judea, and she begins supporting the family by gleaning in the fields of a man called Boaz, a distant relative of her late father-in-law. Boaz and Ruth, in different ways, express the persistence and steadfastness and depth of the love of God. And now they have found each other in the deepest sense. But there's a problem in their love, and that's where we are in Ruth chapter 4. Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." And so he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line."
"I will redeem it," he said.
Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself." And he removed his sandal. And then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, and so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are my witnesses." Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrata and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Peretz, whom Tamar bore to Judah." Amen. This is the season when young graduates are moving forward in the world. fresh young minds moving into the future. Perhaps you have had or you're going to wave goodbye to your son or daughter, your grandson or granddaughter, as they motor off to the other side of the province or the other side of the country to make a life for themselves. You should feel a proper pride. After all, you've worked these past 20, 25 years perhaps to get them to this point of independence. And yet you want to hold on to them. You want them to find their freedom. The difficulty for young folks in these days is that in order to begin a new life, you have to have some capital, some money behind you. There's a new car to buy, a new apartment, a new this, that, or the other. No doubt the bank of mum and dad have done their bit, but maybe it isn't enough. Maybe they need someone to co-sign a loan for them. When you co-sign a loan, you promise to pay off the loan in the event that the primary borrower is unable to pay off the loan. A co-signer becomes necessary when the person applying for the loan doesn't have sufficient credit history, reliability, or income to get the loan on their own. And so, for example, people who have a history of defaulting on loan payments likely wouldn't be approved. Neither would a recent graduate who hasn't had time to build up their credit history. When someone defaults on a loan, the co-signer becomes liable for the debt. The co-signer has to settle the outstanding amount on the car or the house or whatever it is, as if it were their debt. It's a big responsibility, so do take advice if you are asked to be a co-signer on a loan. Back in the time of the Book of Ruth, they had a kind of similar thing built into the law. If you found yourself in any kind of financial trouble, then you could sell your family farm or property or whatever to raise money. You could even sell yourself into slavery if you needed to. The hope would be that you could work off the problem, pay back the debt, release yourself and land from the financial bind that you are in. But if you couldn't, then there might be somebody in the family who was legally obliged to act for you, who would be the co-signer of the loan, if you like, and who would pay the price to set you free, who would pay the mortgage you couldn't pay. They're called the kinsman or guardian redeemer. Naomi was in hard times. After the death of her husband and two sons, she had returned to the home farm, the family property. But times were so difficult that she had to sell. There was, however, a kinsman redeemer, a co-signer of the loan, if you like. The person appointed by the law to stand in when the debts couldn't be paid, when there was no release from bondage, a form of welfare protection. Naomi and Ruth had a kinsman redeemer, but he kept his distance, didn't want to get involved, thought these women were a liability. And in the elaborate story of Ruth chapter 4, he refused the right to be a redeemer for fear of marring his inheritance. By taking on the property, he had to take on the women as well, and that might dilute the legacy that he would leave to his natural offspring. And so that made Boaz the next near kinsman who would redeem. And Boaz was happy for that, for he had come to love Ruth for herself. So the Book of Ruth is a story where love and law come together. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer, who buys back debt that was not his own and provides a life for Naomi and Ruth. He was able to do so because he was a blood relative, willing, and he had the means to pay the debt. It was his legal duty. But for him, it was also a loving privilege. And this is what points us to Jesus, our Redeemer. Have you ever wished you had someone who would co-sign with you, not on finance, though that might be needed for some, but rather on the problems of life, of who we are? Someone whose credit you could borrow to get through life. Someone whose name was an asset when you're bankrupted by circumstances. Someone you could go to when the universe seems against you. Someone who is for you, even when you are your own worst enemy. Someone who would come alongside you and plead your case. This is Jesus, our Redeemer. Have you ever wished you had someone who would clear your debt with God, deal with what stands you against you in his sight? Someone who, when the final demand of death is upon your life and insisting on full payment, someone who had the ability to wipe out the debt created by sin and waywardness when you have nothing to offer in the face of eternity?
This is Jesus, our Redeemer. It was to become a Redeemer that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, so many years after Ruth and Boaz lived there. He became flesh like us to identify with our human family, to become a brother touched with the feelings of our infirmity. This is what qualifies him to be our Redeemer. In the Bible, the letter to the Hebrews says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he," that is Jesus, "he shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." Jesus, the Son of God, became a son of humanity so that he could be our Redeemer. He is our kinsman Redeemer who buys back our sin debt and provides eternal life for you and me. He's able to do this because he's an innocent flesh and blood human being who was willing and had the means to pay our sin debt. Jesus was rich but became poor. He died that we might live. He fulfilled both the demands of the law that said that sin demands death and also the duty of love, which gave of itself for another. When Boaz redeemed Ruth, when he paid the price to set her free to live a life of love, he took off his shoe. Jesus died on the cross to set us free from that which holds us bondage in our lives, to set us free from the law of sin and death, to bring the law of the Spirit of life. And he was stripped naked. They took off his shoes. He redeemed us by the giving of all of himself as the promise of his redemption. And he says, "I'm coming for you. I have need of a bride, a people to be called by my name, a people to be set free to live a life of love." This is Jesus, our Redeemer. Lord, our God and our Redeemer, we thank you for paying our ransom. Sometimes we forget how much it cost for you to pay the price to set us free from the law of sin and death. You set us free from the condemnation that we deserved and the slavery that we were in. Thank you for not leaving us in the dark territory of our enemies, but granting us citizenship in your kingdom of light. Your love astounds us. The forgiveness that we require daily, you freely and lavishly bestowed. We are amazed by this love. We confess that every time we take our eyes off you and place them on ourselves, we find ourselves in trouble. Thank you for redeeming us, setting us free from the pits that we get ourselves into. The pit of despair, the pit of loneliness, the pit of jealousy, the pit of me, myself and I. For every pit that we place ourselves in or stumble into, you promise deliverance. Thank you for redeeming us when we could not possibly redeem ourselves. Thank you also for redeeming our situations. Lord, thank you that with you there's no loss or helplessness or hopelessness, difficulty or tragedy that is outside of your power to redeem and rescue. Lord, would you use every problem, big or small, in our lives to be used to proclaim you to the world? Lord, we bring to you our broken world. We rejoice in all that is good and lovely and beautiful and noble and worthy of our best thoughts. They stem from you. But we grieve that our world is broken, and we find trouble and wars and rumours of war abound. We pray for the nations of the world, giving thanks for the United States of America, remembering the United Kingdom after their recent election. We lift up to you the peoples of the world in all their need, looking for your redemption to come. Hear our prayers for the places touched by Hurricane Beryl in the Caribbean and Mexico, those touched by wildfires and disaster. Care for your whole creation and sustain and renew the face of the earth. God of mercy, you've promised to hear what we ask in the name of Christ. Accept and fulfill our prayers, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know us and love us in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And we pray in the words he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.